higher variation on the workload, right? So, and this can be dealt with using continuous migrations, right? So we considered an epoch-based interval migration where an epoch is a fixed amount of time, and regenerating a new layout every epoch and executing that migration plan. In our particular case, we chose 30 minutes because our experiment, static analysis determined that using 30-minute epoch, we would only incur in 10% of the time, 10% of the time doing migrations. Another drawback is that we have higher metadata overhead, right? If we have volumes, there isn't much overhead, but the smaller the extents are, the more overhead, the more statistics that we need to keep for the more overall statistics that we need to keep, right? So, but it turns out that this is not such a bad thing, and in fact, if we just use a very minuscule amount of storage, in this case, 0.0001, we can support up to 64 megabyte extent sizes. And this is the size that we will use in our experiment. In terms of how do we place data on each tier, our first approach is a greedy IOPS-based approach, which we call IDC. And in this approach, it's very simple, it's just two steps. The first one is calculate the IOPS amount of every extent and sort them, like we see here. And the second step is just fill them, start filling the array from the arrays that have more IOPS to the arrays that have less IOPS, and until we run out of extent, right? So this is essentially how it goes. And it turns out that this doesn't have such a good performance. Like we see here, these are the results from Microsoft lab trade run for 24-hour period of the Microsoft trade. And if we look at this CDF, we see that that although the performance of both systems is the same, when we look at the average response time, we see that IDC performs substantially worse than the simple SAS system, although it uses about half the power. And we wanted to see why this happens, and one of the things that we found out is that an extent, the access pattern of an extent might suddenly change, right? So at some point, an extent might be placed on the SAS tier, and it will become cold. And we decide that we need to move it to SATA. However, after we move it to the SATA tier, we see that its IOPS demand starts increasing, right? And as a consequence, the extent becomes hot, but not only that, but the array becomes throttled. And it will not be able to service IOPS from other, due to other extents. This was affecting our performance, and one of the solution we took was just to load balance this hot extent among other arrays, right? So essentially, we take this hot extent, in this case it's just one, and let's say move it to the SSD, which is not a problem. And then our system will leave that problem state. So here are the results from adding the throttling detection. We saw there is some improvement. However, we're still worse than the all SAS, right? As evidenced by the green line, right? Where we saw 10% better, but we're still bad from we're still not there. So we looked more into it, and we actually went in and saw where the extent is placed throughout time, right? So here's a particular example of an extent, and we see that this extent basically has four peaks, and the rest of the time is mainly idle, right? So during this 4 weeks, the first peak we see it in approximately the second hour, and at that point we see that the extent is migrated first from the SATA to the SAS and later to the SSD, and it stays on the SSD until about hour number 7. And then we see that it migrates during among other tiers, right? Sorry, my point to show here is that although the extent is has a high IOPS in the hours 7 and 9, most of those IOPS are sequential IOPS, right? Which are better served by other tiers that is not the SSD tier. So if not IOPS, then what, right? So we already know that SATA is good for idle data and SSD is good for random data, but what I didn't tell you before is that SAS is the actual most cost effective tier for sequential access data, like the extent that we previously saw. So we refine our model from just taking IOPS to take more than IOPS and incorporate this notion of sequentiality, and came up with this other model, which was initially proposed in the Minerva work. And essentially, it models the disparate behavior. I'm not going to go into the details. But if we look at the lowest cost for tier that this model produces, it looks somewhat like this, where we have that extent with low IOPS and varying degrees of sequentiality all belong in the fast tier. And as the IOPS increases, we see that that data will tend to move towards higher tiers, in particular SAS and SSD. And also, it's important to know that even with high IOPS and high degree of sequentiality, other tiers such as SAS and SATA might be best. So here's the results after we change this our placement algorithm, and as evidenced in the blue line, and here we saw a dramatic increase in performance up to less almost half of the SAS. And this was mainly due to the extent placement, right? So as evidenced here in this graph, we see that in the top extent, we see that it's only in the SAS in the SSD tier, a small fraction of the time, and and a big chunk of the time is spent on the SAS tier, because it's of most of its IOPS are due to random IOPS, sorry, to sequential IOPS. And in this case, in the bottom extent, we see that it spends most of the time on the on the SATA tier, which corresponds to the behavior of the extent that is mostly idle. Right. So the overall picture of our system looks like this. Data is collected and then analyzed by our system, which creates a placement, and it's then executed by a migrator. And additionally, we have this problem detection and correction, also monitoring the data constantly. Okay, so how do we take this system how do we provision for a system like this that is multi-tier? And we say that if we design a system from scratch with the notion that we're going to have a multi-tier system with this sort of behavior, we can further reduce acquisition costs by a substantial margin. And that is going to be my next point, that is, how do we provision multi-tier systems that are like this? And let me give a little background into how current provisioning schemes work. And what happens is that they usually take some observe, they observe the workload for a period of time and essentially look at what are the peaks. And in particular, they look at the peak IOPS and then they use provision for that. And they say, okay, for this particular workload, I would need X amount of SASIS or X or this other amount of this in if I were provisioning a multi-tier system. However, our argument is that this might not yield an efficient multi-tier system if we only consider IOPS. We need to consider additional things like sequentiality of the workload, among other things, right? Like our model shows, and our result, our previous results show. And that's essentially what we do. We envision that we will have a configuration that starts from a system that is from a current system that is mainly SAS and gathers some IOPS statistics from that system, which are passed to a configuration advisor, and it will output a peer configuration advice which someone will buy and install, and then we'll have our dynamic multi-tier system, like the one I just showed you, right? So how does this provisioning, how is this peer configuration advice, how do we get it? So we start by taking a representative IO tray, dividing into epochs, calculating the resources that we need for epochs, and then estimate the number of the overall resources that we need by basically summing up all the resources that we use overall by epochs. I'm going to go into more details of this step, so don't worry if you lost me there. So after we've divided the trace, we look at how much resources of each tier and extent will use, right? So in this case, we have four extents, and they use a different amount of resources of each. If they were positioned in a given tier, in a given amount of time, right? And we essentially start take the minimum of this utilization, and those minimums we put them together to obtain the amount of resources needed for a particular epoch. Right? In this case, we need one SATA, two SATs, and one SSP. And then essentially we repeat this process for all the epochs and then we'll take the maximum amount of resources of each type for every tier. Right? In this case, it deals that we need two SATA, two SATs, and one SSP. Right? Okay, so now let's move on to the evaluation. Our infrastructure on which we implemented the system looks like this. We have applications issuing IOs, and those are given to our system to a fuse device driver that communicates, that actually issues the IO. Right? These are the characteristics of the drive that we use. And all of the experiments are done in this setup, which is comprised of 12 SATA, 12 SAS, and 4 SSD. And to measure power, we use a WhatsApp power meter. We evaluated two workloads. The first one, synthetic workload, an SPC-like system. Due to time constraints, I'm not going to go into further details into that workload. I'm just going to go into details of one of the Microsoft research phrases that we explore, in particular the server workload, which we found most interesting. And this is composed of those volumes, if you're familiar with the Microsoft phrases themselves. So, this graph belongs to the MS to the combined traces. And here, the top graph shows the IOP through time, and the bottom graph shows the power consumption through time. It's important to know here, first, that in the highest IOP period, EDC power consumption scales better than the ALSAT and IDC systems, which are always are more or less peak power consumption. And then when the IO load decreases, we saw that the power consumption on the for the EDC system will also decrease to match the workload. So overall, EDC was able to save 50% of the power in comparison to the SAS system. So the trace system, sorry, the trace workload that we have is provision of it's composed of all those volumes mentioned there, and our configuration tool yielded that this was the best configuration for our system. And EDC was able to actually achieve the lowest cost system, but not the lowest power. The lowest power was achieved by the IDC system, right? In terms of response time, we see that EDC outperforms all of them by 60 and 45% respectively. Notice that EDC in this case performs better than the ALSAT system. And when we look at extent placement through time, we see that, in particular in the peak IOP period, we see that most of this IOP corresponds to sequential activity. And in fact, that's what EDC did, and it moved most of the extent in that period to the SAS tier. And for other periods of time, we see that and for the when the load decreased, most of the stuff was starting to be moved out of the SAS because it was no longer the most efficient tier for it. And in overall, in this case, EDC saved 50% of the energy in comparison to SAS, and 25% of the energy in comparison to the IDC, which is not shown here. Here's the summary of the results of all the different experiments that we conducted. Notice that for in terms of response time, the server trace is the one that yields the biggest benefit. However, in terms of power savings, the most benefit was from the data, and that's because that data set was very big and required a lot of disks in comparison to just much fewer SATA disks. Notice that there are some negative numbers, in particular when we compare EDC to IDC, that is the IOP scheme, against the one that integrates IOPS and sequentiality, and those and then we see that the response time is actually worse for only one of the cases, and that's the data server, and that is because that was most of the access in that case were random accesses. And also, the energy savings in IDC were sometimes greater. However, for the cases that the energy savings for the IDC IDC configuration were greater, EDC was able to achieve better performance. So, to conclude, I'd like to highlight the contributions of the paper and that we presented a novel system configuration algorithm for dynamic multi-tier systems that reduces cost that reduces capital cost and improves the overall performance. And we showed that our system EDC was able to outperform both SAS only and IOP based multi-tier systems while minimizing power at the same time. And with this, I'd like to conclude and go on into any questions if there are any. Okay. 24 minutes.
Okay. We can start questions now. Folks at IBM. Have, we can start
24, yes.
20 or 34?
No, 24.
24. Oh, good.
Yeah, I would not have said it like that if it was 34.
Okay.
I think this is the best presentation of the value of this that I've seen.
Okay, yeah, I still need to practice it a lot more. I'm still modifying a little bit these slides, but okay. Yeah, sorry. Go ahead.
I think the content, it needs practice to work on your smoothness, but the content and the flow is really good.
Okay.
Yeah, the only thing that I picked up on the slides, in particular on page 29,
okay.
Number of disks.
Okay.
We probably can put a legend as to what those numbers are.
Okay.
And I'm going to harp on titles again. The title of that MSR Cambridge Trace Server probably could make a more descriptive title as to what the message of the slide is.
Okay.
Like different configurations using our different algorithms or something, arrived at by different algorithms, something like that.
Okay, probably provisioning outcomes for okay, I get where you're going.
Exactly.
So I really like how you go through adding the different features and the benefit you get.
Yeah.
The one thing I would add somewhere in there is kind of when we're talking about comparing to SAS, how much SAS, or something to indicate that what we did was reasonable. I know you don't want to go through the whole provisioning stuff at that point, but you know you can make those graphs look arbitrarily good.
Yes, I get where you're going. Okay, so explain a little, give a little bit more insight into how those systems, so those configurations are. So I'll just say that those are equal cost configurations.
Yeah, that's all you need. Mm-hmm. Something so that someone doesn't jump up and down and say,
okay.
Yeah,
go ahead, Bindu.
I was just going to say that overall, I'm very happy with the flow of things in this presentation. Yeah, there needs to be some more practice, and I think that will smoothen out things. My main comments were focused around a few inconsistencies or potentially lack of information in certain places that might leave people scratching their head. For instance, when we go through slide by slide, I'll give you specific comments.
Okay.
For instance, used utilization during provisioning. We've never described anywhere what we mean by utilization. Same thing, okay. We talk about EDT having dynamic power savings. You did not touch upon anything that makes EDT have dynamic power savings as opposed to IDT not having. Right. So those subtle points are lost. We'll go through slide by slide that I'll point out. Point out those things. So, yeah, these are like second-order things that potentially can leave people scratching their heads saying, okay, why does EDT save dynamic power whereas IDT does not, or those kind of things.
Okay.
But yeah, overall, quite good. You're getting there.
There's only one major question. I don't know if this is a concern or it's just a question, but you start off by describing the DTM part of EDT and then circle back to talk about provisioning / configuration.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the opposite order in which a customer would encounter this. And so it's not I'm just wondering if we think that there's any reason that we want to do it in the other order or whether we like this one better.
Yeah, well, the way I saw it is that if we talk about provisioning first, we'll have to describe every single aspect of, like, let's say, the throttling detection, the dynamic migrations, and all that without actually giving information or insights into why we do that.
Yep.
Right, and that was my major concern there, and that's why I sort of made the presentation in this format so as to motivate why we need all those things in the dynamic multi-tier system, and then just go on to how would we go and provision a system with those characteristics.
Yep. Okay. I'm okay with that, and I'm just wondering whether everyone else is okay with that as well.
I see the dilemma in going the other way around. It would be a lot of details have to be specified or skipped, hoping that the listener would catch up at the end. I'm okay with this one. I think this is clear and. I mean, we talked about it last week, in my opinion, I would have really liked that slide up front that kind of points out the tension between a CA and a DTM, kind of tuning the listener that there are two components to this whole thing. The order does not matter because there's dependence, but I don't know, Jody, something like that would help clarify things. You know, kind of like a one overview picture that there is a tension between CA and DTM. CA depends on DTM. DTM obviously depends on what the provisioning is. And then it doesn't matter which way we go. DTM is very good.
Yeah. I think now that you think of it, you're actually right. I could probably add that in the motivation. Just put the overall picture of our system without giving more insight into it, and then just go on explaining the DTM part.
Okay.
Yeah, probably something like that.
Myself, I think you try to do that in five. I think in five, you go there, and I had one issue there in particular that we are claiming that the goal, or rather, our system goal is to reduce operational cost while increasing performance at the same time, and that seems. Although that might be true, it seems a bit of a leap of faith on part of the audience to accept that so early on in the presentation.
Okay.
And in fact, it might not always be true. It may be the case that at the same cost we deliver better performance, or at the same performance we provision a lower cost system. And that's the way I read our paper. Or at least that's how I think it reads. But here it's a little.
Yeah, and in fact, that is the case. We never shoot for improving performance. Our goal is to reduce OPEX and CAPEX, and while maintaining the performance requirements.
Right. So I think the reason for why you might have put there is to highlight that there is a provisioning contribution as well as a optimization of peer management contribution. But I think these are. I think that's a different kind of points we might want to make in a different way than by saying that we have two simultaneous goals.
Right. See, that's what I slide five. I really hope that slide five can highlight CA and DTM. Right. That's the first slide introducing the whole. Slide five for me should be more of an overview picture as opposed to just DTM.
Okay.
And just focusing on OPEX. So the CAPEX point is clearly lost. You just let the audience to say there are two unaddressed issues, and then you drop one of them.
Okay.
Without any forward pointer that there is going to be something else they should pay attention to, right? So if I tune out at slide five, I will not know that the system actually had a CA.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Maybe you want to redo this a bit to where you start from a perspective of, okay, you're going to buy a multi-tiered system now. What's the first thing you need to, you know, you need to do? Well, you've got to figure out what to put in each tier, and then you need to have a way to dynamically move things around once it's running.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can even use what Jody was saying. You can use the customer thing to build a story, saying, okay, right set of things, right? Even that mechanism exists to put the right stuff at the right place at the right time. How will you figure out what to buy? And that's your two parts coming up. Now you've tuned your audience to look for two key things that you're going to tell them about.
Okay. Yeah.
And those are the transitions you need to work on. You know, when you finish DTM, you kind of quickly revise, saying, okay, we have now seen how to put the data at the right place at the right time. But remember, there was one more problem, which is the customer now has to figure out what to buy. So now I'm going to tell you about that. And then you transition. So you need those quick recaps without spending a whole lot of time, no details, just kind of quick recap saying how, you know, it was a few slides away, right? Now they're so involved with you in understanding IDP and IOPS and bandwidth and everything. You have to pull them out and move them to the next thing.
Okay. Yeah, that definitely makes sense. Any questions from here, you guys? And the sequentiality.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that name doesn't say anything.
Okay.
And I think it's just a matter of introducing it more formally and spend some time. Now you don't have such a time issue. Maybe you can spend 30 seconds to talk about these two configurations and let that sink in.
So many things I confuse both. And then I was not sure what which one was both. And at the end, you said, okay, I did this.
Okay, so get more details into, just formalize them and spend time saying them. And probably also every time I should.
The evaluation part is very important because often they have different performance benefits. Variation, so there is no, neither of them is defeating the other one, so and you don't know exactly, that happened to me, it was in the
evaluation. So 32, slide 32, can you bring that up? I think that slide 32, one thing which you perhaps could have said is that their percentage numbers relative to EDT.
Yeah, it needs that. Slide 32 needs that. Otherwise, those percentages are suddenly out of nowhere. I had the same comment.
So these are relative to EDT. So EDT is 50% better than IDT for the server trace in response time. Right? That's what you mean by those numbers, right?
Yes.
Okay. So we could just IFA make it easier.
Maybe expanding it would help. Yeah, could consider that.
Yes, IOPS Bay.
Put a text box on top saying relative to EDT or percentage difference or percentage gain or loss with respect to EDT.
Yeah.
Or if say percentage negative, red indicates percentage loss and lack of percentage. And also, I mean, while we are on this very slide, the other thing I would recommend is wrap up IDT quickly.
Mm-hmm.
The sense that, you see some negative numbers on IDT, but the point is that although it might be having lower costs in some cases or lower energy, it is not giving the same performance because it is not provisioned correctly, or it is not placing things correctly. Just one sentence. Very crisp. You can even add a text box if you think that'll help you. I don't know how much time you spent on the slide. So basically you have to highlight two things. Across traces, the gains are there. You see certain negative numbers only in the IDT column. And that's because, and you don't have to worry about them because although it's better in energy and cost in some cases, it is not delivering the performance needed. So clearly it doesn't help even if it's better or doesn't matter if it is better. Right, that's the point you have to make.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
So you can actually wrap this up a little quicker. Any other high-level stuff, or should we just flip through all the slides for minor stuff?
Any other comments here? So you thought that it was clearer than last time?
Yeah.
Much clearer.
Okay.
Okay, so I guess we will flip through the slides.
Okay. I think slide one is just practice on delivering the slide.
Yeah, I was going to suggest to Jorge that he should probably rehearse what he wants to say in the first two or three slides entirely.
Yeah.
Just,
know it very, very well so you don't have to struggle for words, because the first two or three slides are always the most difficult one. And
yep.
If you crack that, then the rest of the presentation goes more smoothly.
Yeah. I
would advise the same thing. It's when you're most nervous, you're most anxious, and so you want it really on the tip of your tongue. And here you did struggle a little bit on your delivery. So the first slide, the content is good. I mean, I was thinking of Remain King of Cheap Storage, maybe rewording that a little bit. Saying it is okay, not in text.
Okay.
But that's just, I'm okay. I mean, what does everybody else feel? I don't know.
You mean King of Cheap? What did you say exactly? I sort of
lost. To rebirth the King of Cheap Storage.
The slide says Sarah does remain King of Cheap Storage.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, so it's just a personal thing. I like the slides to be a little bit more formal, and you can say, you don't have to read what is on the slide. You can reword it anyhow you want, and you can be more colloquial while you present. But that's just a personal thing. I don't know how everybody else feels.
I'm okay with this.
Okay, yeah, so the first slide, the main comment was delivery.
Yeah, I think, I could sense that you were a little nervous in the beginning. Okay, if you have everything...
Yeah, sometimes it helps to memorize your first chart, what you're going to say.
Yeah.
And then the rest of it, you don't do that, but just to get you over that first 30 seconds, if you know exactly what you're going to say at that point, you'll relax and then you'll be fine.
Yep, okay, shall we move to the next one? The next one is okay with me. That's fine. Slide number three is good.
Yeah. So we said that we need a better connection here to towards the global picture.
Right. So here is what my suggestion would be. So kill four. Don't need the outline yet. Kill four. So I'm not talking about your new slide number four. Your new slide number four would introduce a label and contribution. Talk about CA and DTM. And you have two goals, one is OPEX, one is CAPEX, one is OPEX, and you have two high-level approaches. So that's your contribution. The main thing about this paper is this two systems. So you just ended slide three on two challenges, right? Two unaddressed issues. So your slide number four would be contributions, and you talk about CA, how it addresses the first challenge, your DTM addresses your second challenge, and you set it up saying now, then flash your outline slide as saying, okay, first I'll talk about, we just finished all the motivation and stuff, introduction, whatever you want to call it. So it'll not be our multi-tier system, it'll be DTM or whatever, dynamic probe, dynamic configuration or whatever, dynamic placement, whatever we're calling it, dynamic tiering. Next is provisioning. So now you tell the audience you're going to talk about two things. Then you'll talk about evaluation and conclusion. Is that, what do you guys think?
Yeah, I agree. I think that's a good thing. I think having a contribution slide up front sets up the stage for what to expect in the rest of the talk.
Does that make sense for him?
Yep. Yeah. Definitely.
Okay. So slide three, you have your transition. You just talked about two things.
Mm-hmm.
The thing, this is what we address in the paper. One, we have the CA, it's design and technique to address the first challenge. Then the DTM that addresses the second challenge.
Yeah.
And then you flash the outline saying, for the rest of the talk, I'll first talk about DTM, how it works. And then you'll talk about, so just change your second bullet instead of our multi-tier system to call dynamic tiering. Second part, we'll talk about provisioning. So now you talked about both the things you said were your contribution. So obviously, you'll conclude with evaluation for you.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, there was definitely that hole that needs to be fixed.
Right. Okay. Shall we move to slide 5?
Yeah.
So the current slide 5. Dynamic multi-tier systems architectures. Something's wrong with that title. Dynamic multi-tier system.
Yeah.
Or dynamic tiering something. There's too many S's. Systems and there's architectures. Okay, slide 6. I like this new slide 6.
Yeah, that's good.
Again, let me know what you guys think. What I personally felt was, don't go into how you compute a 30-minute epoch. The two sentences
okay.
that you said about static analysis
yeah.
and whatever else, that was not going to tell the audience
mm-hmm.
anything. Tell them if they need more details, we'd be happy to tell them later, end of the talk, or they should just say refer to the paper. If somebody is not happy with refer to the paper, they will come back and ask you. You're
okay.
not going to be able to tell them exactly what we did. At least that's my suggestion, and I
okay.
think you can.
Yeah.
The details are in the paper. We chose this systematically so that there's no overhead. Something very, very, very small. And details in the paper.
Yeah.
At least
okay.
that's what I said. I don't think they're going to get anything about the, with the two sentences you just said.
Yeah, and I felt that the you know the explanation for why we chose 64 megabytes was not clear. So, and I realized why, because you cannot make a clear argument within such a short period of time. So it's better
exactly,
not to make
and the same
argument
thing with
a
30-minute epoch.
Yeah. Yeah. Better to point to the paper. I agree.
So all you want to say is you want, you know metadata overhead is higher, so you will pick the smallest fixed size that will help you, that will keep the metadata overhead under control. And you say we pick that limit to be 0.0001% of the capacity, and we calculated, we got 64 megabytes, more details in the paper.
Okay.
Similarly, it has got higher variation, so we need to pick something so that, once again, it does not have a lot of overhead. We picked 30-minute epochs based on the traces we analyzed. More details in the paper. Okay. Anything else, 6? Should we go to 7? Okay. 7, you said it is our first approach. It is, I don't want to say it's our approach.
Yeah.
We can say a popular approach, an intuitive approach.
Or the first approach that we
yeah,
modeled.
Yeah, the first approach, yeah.
Yeah, the first approach, yeah.
You mean our first approach, or? First approach or
initial approach?
Initial
approach, yeah.
Initial approach, that's good.
Yeah. Again, cueing the audience that more is coming up.
Yeah.
This is just
mm-hmm.
a very first graduate thing. Slide 8, I think Wendy was saying here, say something about you know, where is this coming from? Like, don't talk to it. Just have it on the slide so that the audience is not puzzled. The NSR grade, you know, what is the configuration, equal cost, of, equal cost, I think this is equal cost.
Yes, equal
provisioning.
Cost.
Yes. Don't have to talk about it. Just put it there. People who are scratching their head at that point will obviously look and get the information they need.
Okay.
Okay. I guess you want to highlight the response time average numbers, so you could put that in bold just so
okay.
that people look at it. Is it from the CDF? It's hard to make out that one
mm-hmm.
or the other is doing better.
Right, with the CDF.
Yeah, you're right. It's hard to make out from the CDF.
The next one.
Right, 9, 10, 11. Okay, except, yeah, again, maybe this was harder to do, but I was hoping it would be EDT plus TD as opposed to IDT plus TD. Meaning the emphasis is on IOPS only and not throttling.
Which you're looking at 11.
I'm looking at 9, 10, 11, yeah.
Yeah, thanks. So what I did is that I had some results which didn't include throttling, and basically added those results for IDT.
I see.
Okay.
Actually, I thought this was a good slide to have, because what this tells us is that, well, we identified a problem with
mm-hmm.
IDT, that there was some throttling going on. And even after we fix that, IDT still is not good enough, right? So there's something more that's necessary for extent-based steering to make sense.
Actually, that's a good point. And yeah, Jorge, it would be really emphatic if you said it that way.
Okay.
Did you just get what Raju said? I like,
yes.
Yeah, that
yes.
sounds... That
yeah, we are recording this anyway.
Okay. Yeah, I like that. I think that
okay.
makes sense, yeah. Okay, so it's 9, 10, 11. I'm on slide 12. So sub, I think that's a typo on the title. Sub, you want to say sub-utilizes? Considering only IOPS?
Oh, yeah. Sub-utilizes, yeah. There's
under-utilizes, so you want to say under-utilizes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not IOPS, then what? Okay. So, okay, I'm now on slide 14. Anything else? Should we go to 14? Anything else? Until 14? Okay. So, 14. So, yeah, here is my dilemma. You talk about utilization and provisioning. Now, if at all we need to say something about utilization, here is the place to say it. Now, I'm conflicted. I don't know what to do about that discrepancy.
So you're saying that introduce utilization here somehow?
Yeah, we do use it on slide, I don't know, with the
yeah, so, yeah, yeah.
So isn't that first equation the utilization equation that up there?
Well, it's incomplete. I mean, this is just one part of it.
Oh.
This is performance utilization.
Yes.
So
then there is the capacity utilization and the overall.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And the chart, the graph here is overall based on overall utilization, right?
Based on overall
mm-hmm.
utilization,
yep.
yes.
So it seems like we should have that overall utilization formula as well, apart from this performance utilization. So to give
mm-hmm.
to the audience for where this chart is coming from. I know there are too many equations on one slide, but maybe we could move the chart to the next slide, the graphic.
Yeah, so you want to specify the complete equation used to calculate
this
graph.
I mean, introduce the equation one by one, and you don't need to explain everything. You can just give the high-level intuition of each equation.
Okay.
Just the high-level utilization.
Yeah, say performance utilization, capacity utilization, and then we mix those two and obtain a global utilization metric.
Right, so first have the first part as is. So you just ask them, if not IOPS, then what? And you told them you want to merge sequentiality into the picture. So have the first bullet by itself. Take your time. What you said about the first bullet, you know, you will use this much similar to the previous work, and you'll get, you're saying into a single utilization metric. Instead, if you draw it out, incorporate IOPS or sequentiality to as follows, and say performance utilization equal to this number, then it will state that there was something called performance utilization, which we just described. Then let two more bullets flash. One is capacity utilization, very intuitive, nothing. It's a fraction of the capacity consumed on a drive. That's all there is. And then obviously the overall utilization is the max of the two. Fair enough?
Yeah.
Okay. So, okay. Try that, and I think you should be able to get some time if you kill the explanation on that, how you chose the metric stuff, right? Then we talked about that, and as well as, you know, tightening up the first couple of slides, you should be able to get a minute or so to go over that utilization stuff. Okay. There's also the new utilization metric. Cycle on slide, I'm on 15. Anything else up to 14?
I think I have some minor comments which I'll forward to later. Yeah, we should move on.
I guess slide 15 may be title. So, identify what EDT is. You said IDT is IOPS only, right?
Mm-hmm.
What is EDT? You have not described EDT. I think that's also part of the comment that you got from the audience there. Instead of calling it, what is the title right now?
Right now
results with a new utilization metric. Define, before you say that, say, when you finish 14, you say, okay, now based on this, it's what we have is called EDT. And this is now comparison or IDT versus EDT. That's your main point of the chart, right?
Yes.
But define EDT at this point. So
DT is supposed to stand for dynamic tiering, right? So what if I, in just for simplicity in the presentation, I put something like IOPS DT, and expand it, and something like utilization DT.
IOPS DT, yeah, that should be very, very good, because it will be more obvious what we mean.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that.
There's no mental translation involved from IDT to IOPS only. Yeah, I think that's good. That would be it.
Okay.
So, I'm jumping to slide 17. I don't have anything in between. Slide 17.
Right, so in slide 16, the only comment I had was maybe you want to show the bottom example first because
okay, that's the one I showed first.
That you already talked about. So mm-hmm. that's an immediate contrast to what IDT does in that specific example.
That's true.
Right. And then you could, you know, actually you don't need a second example, although if you have time, maybe you could present.
Okay.
You could save some time by not showing that second example.
Yeah, but yeah. Probably I can get rid of that.
Yeah, the lower example is fairly convincing.
Mm-hmm.
Slide 17, kill the word structure in the title.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about this last time. Highlight, there is still, there's a typo there. There is still room to reduce. There's no, there is still B room. There is still room
mm-hmm.
to reduce. Highlight it out, otherwise it feels
mm-hmm.
like it is saying something about the figure and not the transition.
Okay.
Or just kill it completely and use it. Just say the transition.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably I'll do that. Just say that.
Yeah, because you're flashing an outline, right? So you
mm-hmm.
can use that outline slide to set up your transition.
Yeah.
Look, you know. And here, you might not go into details, but kind of point out that along with everything we've been talking about, there's a data collect. So you can just say, well, I've been telling you that I want to combine IOPS and sequentiality and so forth. So somebody has to measure this. So there's obviously a data collector. And when things change, the extents have to move, so there is a migrator. Just kind of very quickly, 30 seconds, highlight the fact that there's a data collector and a migrator. It might help, or because there is a missing piece there. Where is all this info coming from, right?
Okay.
Slide, that is slide 13. It's, I don't know how folks feel. I'm in favor of killing slide 19 completely.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on slide 19.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if I'm adding a whole lot.
I think it sets background.
I think it does, yeah. I think it's kind of important.
You probably just have to modify it a little bit and just not put the resulting configuration. Just say that it's based on peak IOPS and it might not yield the most efficient multi-tier configuration because of such and such.
Yeah, the other thing is you probably want to move the graph to the left, because first the graph would come and then your configurations would come, right?
Yeah.
I start reading the slide usually from the left.
Okay.
So I see a configuration and then eventually I see a graph, so maybe this graph is a result of that configuration.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, but I was thinking of killing the configurations. I'm not sure if they're needed. I mean, to highlight the point that I want to make.
So, and another point that comes to my mind with this slide, and that's the reason I was thinking that, you know, since that point was not there, it might be worth killing. One is the sequential random stuff, right? That we just established based on IOPS only, that it is not a good idea to just focus on IOPS.
Yeah.
The other main thing for me is the fact that when you do a volume-based provisioning, the all-SAS, right, it is just based on one peak value and not the dynamic aspect of it. And I feel that's the main difference with respect to the current schemes. And taking a peak value and provisioning for it is not immediately translated into extents. The sequential random point is very valid, and I agree. But we just spent 4 or 5 slides saying that's a very bad idea. So you can
mm-hmm.
quickly revisit that concept, saying as much as a bad idea for placement of things, it's as bad an idea for even provisioning.
Yeah.
But the other main point is the fact that And is that how that's how we did the all-SAS provisioning, right? Jorge, you took the volume,
yeah.
You took a peak. So you can set it up that way, and that will also clarify how all-SAS works, right? Or at least, I mean, that's a thought that I have.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think these are good suggestions. I think you can incorporate some of these ideas in your discussion of the slide, then even that would be sufficient.
Okay.
The slide could still stay.
yeah, but I think if you take Raj's suggestion, that would be very useful. First flash the graph and say, what would you do today if you had an all SaaS system? You'd take the peak and you'd figure out how many disks you want. And then, obviously, you make 2 points. One is, this is not directly applicable to extents. You cannot take the peak of every extent and try to figure out what devices you want.
Mm-hmm.
That would be too over-provisioned in the system. And moreover, we just saw how it is, you know, how bad it is not efficient to just focus on IOPS. And then you have your second point, which is IOPS of an extent is not sufficient. Okay. Anything? Any other things for slide
19? No.
So slide 20 is potentially somewhat going to be in the contributions, right? The slide 3 that we talked about overall.
Yeah.
So you'll have to see what is. You could reflash the slide so
mm-hmm.
that it, you know, people it is refreshed in people's memory. What exactly happens in the system? The sentence on top of slide 20 does not work for me. For further capital cost reduction, we envision configuring multi-tier systems along with the dynamic system to optimize one's deployment. I'm not sure what.
You don't really need that sentence. You can tell this in verbally.
Okay.
If you want to.
We envision configuring multi-tier systems. Yeah, it's the along with the.
So the idea is, I'm not sure, what are you trying, you're saying that they...
Yeah, probably if we introduce this notion at the beginning, like Bindu's suggesting, I can just, like, give an overall refresh of this and,
yeah,
and not...
Yeah, you could just show the bottom part again, and maybe
right.
highlight the configuration advisor to say,
yeah,
this is what
exactly.
I'm going to talk about next.
Okay.
Yeah. So probably can,
yeah, you can highlight the DTN thing. We just talked about this, and now we're going to talk about this. Slide 21 is good. Slide 22, I think there was a slight animation glitch. Your SATA drive was, or a SAS drive was stuck on
yeah,
the slide.
Yeah, yeah, I modified the slide a little bit before the presentation and didn't realize it, the animation got. Yeah, okay, I'll fix that.
Forget it. You start changing a slide once you have animations, and the animation goes completely
yeah.
screwy. It's true.
Yeah, it's true.
You have to keep a close eye on what you're grouping and where it is sitting in your...
No,
yeah.
I think that there's... Microsoft PowerPoint is just screwed up there.
Yeah.
Okay, let's keep going.
So slide 22,
yeah,
the title
weird,
also could be... Sorry.
22, the title?
Yeah, I was just saying it might be useful to say inside an epoch and across epochs, right? That's your two main things.
Okay.
And it might be useful if you had that in the title.
Within an epoch. So 22
within
is...
Within an epoch and...
Within an epoch. Or, determining resource utilization.
Within
like
an epoch. Well, highlight
so
that it's within an epoch, and the other one is across epochs.
Mm-hmm. So you can say within an epoch, colon, estimate resources. Slide 23, across epochs, colon, combined resources.
Okay.
The other thought I had about slide 22 is it utilization or is it actually cost times utilization? It is cost times utilization, isn't it?
It is...
You pick the lowest cost.
Well, it's actually that I multiply by... Yeah, you're right, cost times utilization.
So number two needs to change?
No.
Yes, number two needs to change. It's not take min utilization across device types, it takes min cost across
yeah.
device types. The
sure.
cost is... Utilization times cost per device.
Yeah, it's cost.
Number 22.
slide 20. Yeah, I think that's all I had on 22.
In 23 and 22, I was going to suggest that one of those, you could actually make one of those time instances the same as the previous one. But the resources needed.
Yeah, the first one is supposed to be.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
I see. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Can make it more clear.
No,
I just have to make it more clear that fact.
And you might run into some color issues with this, with these light blue and dark blue.
Okay.
You might want to pick a different shade, or maybe darker, or some different.
Yeah, probably I'll put the sadder blue darker. That's what I'm
saying. You could use green maybe, just to be even more different. Because especially when you have all those light and dark blues, for me they look very similar. Yeah.
Okay.
And there may be colorblind people in the area.
Well, actually, colorblind are better able to detect light variations and shades of color than non-colorblind people.
I guess there'll be a lot of non-colorblind people.
That's why they're good at detecting camouflage.
Okay, I just want to, I think I'm going to have to drop off soon, but so I will when I have to, and just know that I still love you even though I'm not going to be on the phone anymore.
Thank you, Jody. Okay, should we do 20? Go 25?
25, okay.
I'd say combine 25, 26. And don't talk about anything about zero device driver, nothing.
Combine them. I think it might be a little bit crowded if I put both of them on one slide. 25 and 26. Okay, I'll see how it goes, and if it...
Yeah, and the other thing is, don't talk a whole lot about on these slides. I'm just better utilize.
Okay.
Yeah, just very quickly, you know, 12, we had 12 each of these drives, and yeah, we implemented all the algorithms, right?
Okay.
People will believe you implemented. Workloads, okay, that's good. On slide 27, since you're going to focus on server, I would highlight it here and say, this is what I'm going to talk about, dressed in the paper, right? Highlight server, when it comes up, when you're done explaining.
Yeah, the thing is that I have a slide that is just after this one, 28, that is regarding the whole trait.
Yeah.
Yes, and my suggestion was that needs to move.
That needs to go?
Move it to the end, after you finish talking about the server, maybe? I don't know, you just said at that slide, I remember you said,
you
only talk about server in this, but then suddenly you got a combined trait next. So then something, either don't say that, and talk about combined, or move that, slide 28. Actually, I had that in my notes.
Okay.
The other thing in 28 is there is mention of EST still. You might want to kill EST.
Really? 28?
Yeah. 28. SAS ID.
Oh, okay, in the SAS description, yes. Okay.
So EST, you can just say, we also evaluated with if you think there is...
No, I'm skipping completely EST.
You can say it is in the paper. We evaluated one more scheme which is completely static, and details are in the paper.
So this is sort of a little counterintuitive for me. I mean, this red box, where and especially the blue line, and this result is a little counterintuitive because it seems like with higher IOPS, the EVT consumes lower power. You look at the box in the green and the other box, and that's what it seems like.
Yeah, actually, I was thinking a little bit about that, but I mean, that's what we got.
I wonder if it's because more SSDs. I don't know.
I think
more
that's what I think, that we use more SSDs simply.
Yeah.
in that part. And then towards the end, the sequentiality seems to be bigger, and that's why we end up incorporating the set and reaching the set and reaching the peak power consumption. And then after 12, we start consolidating that.
So my suggestion would be kill 28. I don't know.
Kill 28.
Yeah, we could. And that might be the easiest thing to do at this point. Put it at the end.
Put it at the end. That's
confusing for the first result.
Move it towards the end or just kill it. Okay.
Absolutely, yeah. I think I think the main point is it's too confusing for the first result slide. I'd rather have you take time and build up the results from 29 onwards, right? First say, remember, we built a CA. This is the outcome of the CA. As you can see, we provisioned for minimizing cost, and here you go. It minimizes cost. Right? That was the goal of CA, so it minimized cost. Then we have the DTM working, and it was supposed to the drill from there on. And then add one graph for dynamic power and highlight. So basically highlight all the things the system is doing well, right? So CA was built, CA did its job in 29. 30, DTM did its job on the performance axis. 31 is just an explanation of that performance. 32, if you have the time, if you kill 28, I really don't care. 32, put the dynamic power aspect and say, you know what, DTM was built for dynamic power and it therefore reduces OPEX. So you made all the points that the system was built for. And you illustrated all of them using just one trace.
You said, okay, so let's go slowly there. So 31, I get towards 31. Do you have any comments for the slide?
31 is, again, a little bit counterintuitive towards the end where we start using more SST towards the end for some reason.
Because we start consolidating.
But the load is not justifying the SSDs at that point. The more SSDs, that's what my concern was.
But so it's justifying it in terms of power.
Oh, in terms of power.
Yeah, it's more power efficient to have it on the SSD than to have the other devices on.
Right. So yeah, I think that's a good point to make. I mean, if you bought the SSDs, why not use them?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we are saying here, that you get the same performance at a lower operational or power cost, right? Maybe you can highlight that in this slide.
I probably will mention some of that.
Especially if you kill one of the other results, like you get more time to talk.
Okay.
For each of them.
Yeah, I think that's what I would lean towards. I'm okay with you killing 28, just picking server and making all the points about the system.
Okay.
Right? The CA advantage, the DTM performance advantage, explanation of that using 31, and then the DTM power advantage, just using one trace.
Okay.
Right, so there is the, do you see?
Yes.
You follow? Okay.
Mm-hmm. So you were saying something about 32?
32, yeah, I think we went over. One is, point out that results relative, put a text box there, results relative to EDT. The other thing is you can save some time on 32. Just say, IDT, IOPS only sometimes saves more energy and more cost, but that is immaterial because it is really bad. It is not making up for that in performance.
Okay.
It is not meeting the performance criteria, so it really doesn't matter if it has lower energy and lower cost.
The only thing is that it seems IDT does seem to do equivalent in the server workload, right? In terms of response time.
No. This is IDT in comparison to EDT.
Right.
So EDT is 50% better than IDT.
Oh, sorry, the data server.
Yeah. Oh, in data server, yeah.
Yeah, it seems they're equivalent for data
seems
server.
They're equivalent, more or less equivalent, yes.
It would be good to have sort of one explanation for that, if there is a question.
Yes. I'll have that on the back of slides.
Mm-hmm.
So, what about the final slide?
That should be. That's good. I might send you something in the email if I figure out a better. I think it's a fine. There's a better way to word it. I don't have it right now, but it's good for now, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, I got most. Yeah, the only last thing that I have remaining, and this is a high level thing which I've mentioned before, which is the lack of the dynamic power optimization of EDT being explained anywhere. I mean, one of our goals was to reduce OPEX, right? I mean, CAPEX,
mm-hmm. OPEX,
and reduce power consumption. But just by moving from IOPS to utilization is not going to get that. Right? So EDT has this important piece of peering and consolidation. And we talked about analogous to slide 22 being there somewhere. I'm still kind of stuck on that because dynamic power savings is an important point that you will come to in the eval with no explanation of how, why that is happening. So, yeah.
Well, probably I can mention some of that on slide 31.
No, you will come to this, but to why this is happening, it needs to be motivated in 22, I think. Right?
There is no design that we talked about. We didn't talk about the EDT placement algorithm.
I get what you're going. Okay. Yeah. Basically, that the theory part is explained, but not the consolidation part.
Yep.
Okay.
So where do you introduce that? 22?
Probably 20, within 22 and 20, 23. I can.
No. 22 or 23 is CA, right? So CA does not care about consolidation.
Mm-hmm.
Consolidation is an OPEX thing. It happens only during, while the system is running.
What I was thinking is that I can...
No,
in 23, let's 22 say...
22 is not provisioning. 22 is provisioning?
Yes, 22 is provisioning.
So isn't that the utilization thing?
So we do something analogous in the dynamic part, but that time, instead of cost, it is power. So we do something very similar to 22,
mm-hmm.
except it's not cost that time, it's power. So that's how we get lowest tier. Like, for instance, when Jorge was saying SSDs were being chosen. SSDs were being chosen because of that algorithm, where you multiply utilization by power, and SSDs would be the lowest power place, and you put stuff there. And then there's also the consolidation, where we turn things off, and that will save power. So it's analogous to 22, not 22, perhaps. 22 is cost, and the other thing is power.
Yeah, I feel that the message is now getting more complicated.
If I introduce a notion.
For a 25-minute talk. And this concern that...
I agree, but that's a discrepancy that pops up for me.
I get where you're going.
I don't claim to know how to address it.
Let me think about it and see how we could be at it.
For instance, maybe 17, just a couple of bullet points on 17 would be useful. So when you have 17, maybe you can say... we talked about the resource consumption model, using IOPS and this thing, but then finally when there's a placement algorithm, which will decide where to place what, and that takes power into account when doing tiering, it turns off things that are not used by doing consolidation. People will understand what consolidation means. You don't have to necessarily go into the technique of consolidation. But maybe just saying something like that there, and then in the results, reminding people once again, remember we do consolidation and power based tiering, that's what helps you save dynamic power. Maybe that much is enough.
Okay.
So, not make a big deal out of it, but at least make a subtle point that there's consolidation happening in the placement algorithm. and remind people during the results when you're pointing out dynamic power that, remember, we talked about consolidation, and that's what helps you save power dynamically.
Yeah, okay, that might work.
Yeah.
Okay. I feel that just had a comment about the conclusion slide. Seems like you ran through the conclusions very quickly. And it might be a good idea to somehow expand on that conclusion slide.
Okay.
To spend maybe at least 30 seconds to a minute on the conclusion slide, because a lot of people wake up when you say conclusion. And they might be interested in what you're saying at that point.
Yeah, actually, it
you should use that. You should use that opportunity to feed some more information.
Okay. Okay. So yeah, probably some.
So you might, call it conclusion, and you might think about just kind of going over the main story, right? You say, multi-tier systems are popular, but two unaddressed challenges. So put a challenge, and how we address challenge, how we address, and one line about results.
Okay.
So I know you say, in summary, what we're saying is multi-tier systems are very popular today. Rightly so, but there are two challenges remaining. The first was this, and we addressed it using CA. The second was this, we addressed it using DTM. And we built and experimented with those, and they worked really well, and we got good results.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense.
Or even if you don't put the challenges, put two separate bullets for CA, DTM, and you can say it, saying, the address is our first, you'll have to work with the space and see.
Yeah,
maybe
yeah.
It's just enough to put the CADTM, not the challenge again, but I just say it's like EDT CA address is our first challenge, which was how we configure these things, and DTM address is the second challenge, and so on.
Yeah, I think that would be better than what we have right now.
Yes. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
That's all from my, I had it in my notes.
Okay. Any further comments?
No, I have a few minor things that I'm going to send you.
Okay.
So Jorge, after you clean up this version, so I'm not at work this week, I'm on vacation, but so I don't know what time I'll have available, but I might ping you just to go over the first few slides again with you. Not the whole talk, just the first few slides. Just to, get you, I'll help you practice the first few slides. Depending on my time, I'm not going to promise anything.
Okay. Don't worry. Okay. I'll send you a slide, and then you can reply with your availability.
Yeah. Potentially one of these evenings.
Yeah. I'll adjust to that.
Okay, yeah, it'll not be, it'll mostly be either earlier in the morning or later in the evening.
Okay, no problem.
Okay?
Sure. Okay, so see you guys next Tuesday again.
Are you all going to pass?
Yep, I'm going to pass, I think Wendy is too.
Okay, so I guess we'll see you there.
Sounds good. And we'll see Jorge on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Okay, so what time is it again? Okay. Is it at 2, right? Or 1?
It's at 1.
Okay.
I'll send that thing.
Yeah, probably I'll arrive earlier.